But I'm just going to read a verse in Job, which says, "He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food." Isn't that nice? I'm going to read again. "He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food." And there's been a sense this evening that God's got a banqueting hall for us. And it's a table laden with choice food. And you know when, if you're at a church buffet, and if you're not the first one up, you get there and some dishes are empty and some dishes have got just the last dregs of something that looks not very nice. But this banqueting table, everyone is the first person there. So everything on the table is perfect, and it's not a church spread, it's a king's banquet. So it's gorgeous food, and it's exuberant, it's extravagant, it's unnecessary, it's vast, and it's plentiful, and it's permanent, you know, it's there. So I go up and take something, someone else goes up, and it's like it's not been touched, and it's like that all the time. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. So that's what we've got tonight. We've got a table laden with choice food. There's only a few of us, but there's a table of choice food, and it's all for us. So come forward, because the table's here. It's not really, but come forward anyway, because there's an act in coming forward. We're actually saying, okay, Lord, you're inviting me, I'm coming. And there's something in that, you know, maybe it's a bit, you feel a bit vulnerable, you're a bit exposed, but Jesus invites, and we come. Lord, we're wanting to look at your love, because we want to see your love, we want to know your love. We're singing about your love because we want to get something, not just in our head knowledge, but we want to get a revelation and understanding in the depths of our being of who you really are, Lord. And we can sing songs about your love so far, but we need your Spirit, Lord, to come and set our hearts on fire for you. Lord, there's nothing else for it. We can sing and we can press into you and we can come to the table, we can come to you. But we're completely 100% dependent on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. We need you to show us Jesus. We need you to show us Jesus' love. We need you to show us. We need you to put it in us. We need you to reveal to us Jesus, the love of Christ, the love of the Father. Holy Spirit, we need you to put in us the love of the Father. Holy Spirit, we need you to put in us the love of the Father. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and put in us the love of Father. Holy Spirit, I need you to come and put in me the love of Father. Holy Spirit, I need you to come and put in me the love of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and put in us the love of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want you to come and put in us the love of the Father. Holy Spirit, I want you to come and put in me the love of Father. Holy Spirit, I want you to reveal to me the love of my Father. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and reveal to me the love of Father. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. We're so dependent on you. We want to know this amazing love. We want to know it. We want to experience your love. We want to know your love. Father, we want to know your love. Father, I want to know your love. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to know the love that motivated you to come and do what you did. I want to know the love for me. I want to know your love for me. Father, I want to know your love for me. Father, I want to know your love for me. Jesus, I want to know your love for me. Jesus, I want to know your love for me. Holy Spirit, I want to know your love for me. Holy Spirit, I want to know your love for me. Of his love, you might not, but he's here to reveal his love to us. He wants to put his love, make his love known in us. He wants us to experience his love tonight. He wants us to know him tonight. It's not just for another time, it's for this evening. Position yourself before the Lord, however is right for you to do that. You might want to come to the front, you might want to kneel, you might want to lie down, you might want to sit. But the Lord wants to minister his love to us. He wants to minister his love to each one of you. I like the phrase, we give an inch, he gives a mile. We just give a little bit, we just come a little bit, and he rushes in like a flood. Not a scary flood, a love flood. So position yourself, whatever that means for you. And the worship team will sing and just receive the Lord's love. The Lord's touching a deep part in you. Be brave and allow him to look into that part. Allow him to look first into that deep place, maybe that place of pain. He's looking right into your eyes. He can see it anyway, but he needs you to let him look at you. Let him look at that pain. And his love will gently wash you. His love washes us and makes us clean and pure and blameless and perfect. His love gently heals and restores and makes whole. Be brave. You'll be surprised at the beauty, the gentleness, and the majesty of Jesus touching you with his love. Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you 1 second, and I'm going to come around with this microphone, and per group, one person can say something that's impacted you. It might be a scripture that you've been sharing or something. It can be 2 words, and it can be, or it can be 2 sentences or a whole paragraph.
The scripture you've been sharing is Jeremiah 31 verse 3, where God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I've drawn you. So the love of God is everlasting, and it's always there for us. And you know, it says it's unconditional, it doesn't have any conditions, and we need to let the Holy Spirit keep revealing to us the love of God. Yeah, it's just made me know that, you know, It made me realize that God really loves me. He says that his love is everlasting. It's not going to stop at some point. It will just keep going and going, and he keeps pouring his love over my life.
Yeah, God's love is everlasting. It's not going to stop. The passage, I'll read it, Jeremiah 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive... Oh, hang on. Yep. Right place. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again, you'll take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful, etc. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. How amazing, everlasting love. He's drawn us with loving kindness.
We found God was, or we agreed, God was our strength, and God was, well, similarly, in that God was everywhere. He was overwhelming. He was bigger than a box. He couldn't contain him. That he was found around us, not just direct from him, but also found in other people. So yeah.
I'm so mean. You have something to share, Elaine.
Well, nothing can separate us from the love of God. No principalities or powers. We don't have to do anything, you know, to receive God's love. And that can be quite mind-boggling for people. And sometimes when we just, you know, accept that, then his love can really flood into us in an amazing way and just be poured into us so much. That's it.
We don't have to do anything to receive God's love. But we need to get our head... We need to receive God's love. We don't do anything. We just receive it. And that's difficult for us to understand and to grasp and to walk in, because we're so predisposed to performance and doing something in order to get back love, or, you know, we've got to behave in a certain way to get back a favourable response from people, usually. I mean, we learn from a very young age that there's an acceptable way to behave and an unacceptable way to behave. And if we behave unacceptably, then there's a consequence in terms of other people's affection. That's built into us from very little. But we don't have to do anything to earn God's love, to get God's love. Wow. Jesus broke the rules. He did, man. He broke man's rules. Amazing.
Well, pretty much what we did is we just spoke about love and about what love is and about what worship is. To be totally honest, I just think worship is loving one another and being there as brothers and sisters to one another. That it's so easy to come to church and get caught up in the amazing, big, epic songs, but actually loving your brothers and sisters pleases God a lot more than you singing, you know. So and that's something we talked about, and actually God's love is the fact that we're here in the first place. His mercy is the fact we're even walking the planet, you know, and that's his love for us.
One more.
So we came up with the conclusion as well. It's it overwhelms us every time again how amazing and unconditional God's love is. And we had like the input that God always meets us right there and then where we need him and when we need him. And it's not that we have to beg for it or just wait for it for hours, but he knows when we need him and where we should meet, like where we need him, yeah. And then also that he meets us in the ways that always surprise us and in the little things as well, like birds singing on a rainy day where we not when we're not expected. And yeah, just that we don't have to do anything to receive God's love. The only thing we have to do is just to be there, open our arms and open our heart and receive it. And that's quite amazing.
And I think tonight as well, it's a bit about, you know, not, you know, we're talking about God's love, and it's a bit, it's different from a normal meeting. You know, we've not got this big word and that kind of stuff, but we're positioning ourselves to receive God's love. And often even our church services can reflect a kind of a working mentality. Oh, I must worship. Oh, la 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 la. Oh, I must pray. Oh, shibla man, man, man. Oh, I must listen to the word. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate. You know, or there must be a word, so I've got to deliver a word. And tonight's just about God's love. And we don't need to do anything to receive his love, but we do need to receive his love. And sometimes that actually can be hard. That can be the hard bit. Although it's not hard, but we've learnt that it's hard. We think it's hard, but it's not hard. Look at this amazing passage, which we know so well. It's probably the one that we all know the most. Can you guess it? I'll start it off and then you'll know it. The Lord is my shepherd. Just listen to this, though. There's so many scriptures that we're so familiar with that we don't really get it anymore. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. I love that. He restores my soul. I used to think that my soul was the bad bit. There was my spirit and my flesh. But my soul was wrapped up in my flesh. So my soul was supposed to be denied and ignored and rejected. But that's not what the word says. My flesh is me operating independently of God. That's what we need to deny. But my soul, he came to restore my soul. He came to save my soul. He's filled my soul, my being, my personality, who I am. He made you who you are. He made you, gave you your personality. And he says over you, it's good. He says over your personality, it's good. He says over what he's created in you. He says over your figure, your body, good. He says over your temperament, good. I used to look at myself and really, because I can get quite angry. You know, I've got a bit more of a kind of aggressive nature, angry nature. And I would look at that and think, oh, and some people are so lovely and sweet. And you know how you know some people? Some of you are like that. But yeah, I know people that are genuinely really lovely. And I'm not genuinely really lovely. But God showed me once not to despise who I am, because he's made me a warrior. And a warrior isn't genuinely lovely. A warrior fights. And to each of our personalities and characters that God's given us, there's what God's made. He's made me a warrior. And because of the fall, because I'm not perfect, the flip side of that, the fleshly side of that, is I quickly get angry and irritated. My initial reaction is a negative reaction. Someone else might be more predisposed. Thank you. Predisposed. to getting depressed and kind of negative about themselves. I have no problem with that. I get angry at someone else before I get depressed at myself. Someone else will get depressed and go into their shell and have that as their negative tendency rather than outward to other. So, but I've stopped looking at that, my anger response, as being a really negative thing. Yes, that's my flesh, which I need to, you know, deny, and I obviously want to be more and more like Christ. But the reason that that's the bit I struggle with, not depression, is because of who he's made me. And that's a good thing. So who he's made you is a good thing. And you'll see bits in your person, you know, bits in the way you respond, which, yes, you know, we need to submit to him and all that, blah, 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 blah. It's not right that I respond in anger to people when they walk in front of me. And I need to deal with that. But God's made me who I am. And he's come to restore my soul, restore my personality, restore who I am to that place of perfection, which is what he initially made. Does that make, do you understand?
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is there in that psalm that's not a good thing? Apart from walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But that's life, isn't it? But when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can't remember what we were talking about. God's love being, we can't earn it.